Hello, my name is Gary Brothers, and in this podcast, I'm going to explain to you HM Revenue and Customs' new toolkit designed to reduce errors. HM Revenue and Customs have decided to help you to do your job. Great news, I hear you all cry. What HMRC are actually going to do, and I think sensibly, is to tell us all in the profession what the most common mistakes are that they see, and to give us all some help in avoiding those mistakes. Of course, HMRC states from a basis of mistakes, and there are few who can say they've never made a mistake. But this help also helps HMRC. They are shrinking their staff numbers dramatically, and the days of teams of tax inspectors only undertaking tax investigations are changing and perhaps long gone. Being no mistake, those days cannot ever completely disappear, otherwise who would police the tax system watching for those who deliberately set out to avoid or evade their taxes? But what HMRC are doing is moving the tax regulatory world to one where risk management or risk assurance is as valuable as remedial correction by HMRC. HMRC are saying, if you can show that you've taken reasonable care to make an accurate return, you will get a much lighter regulatory approach as a consequence. This is where HMRC's launch of its toolkits comes into play. So first, let's find the toolkits and then I'll talk about them. Begin at HMRC's website, then click the Tax Agents and Advisors button in the top right-hand corner. On the Tax Agents page, scroll down the See Also list on the right-hand side and click Toolkits. This will then take you to the Toolkits page. So, to repeat for you, HMRC website, click Tax Agents and Advisors, scroll down the See Also section on the right until you see Toolkits and click on that. What you'll then see is the HMRC introductory page for toolkits. What is interesting is that HMRC say on this web page that the toolkits, basically HMRC guidance to reduce errors they see frequently, should help advisors to 1. Ensure that returns are completed correctly, minimizing errors. I'm okay with that so far. 2. Focus on areas of possible error that HMRC consider key. Still okay, I think, although maybe weighted a bit towards HMRC's own beliefs. And 3. To demonstrate reasonable care. Now, this demonstrating reasonable care point is important because the new penalty regime that exists for tax errors meant that even if an error has been made, where reasonable care has been taken, HMRC will not pursue a financial penalty for that error. So, having that as background, that means that following the relevant toolkit should avoid errors being made, but even if they are, there should be no penalty sought, as the client should still meet the reasonable care test. I am also aware that HMRC are considering a tick box on future returns to show who has and has not used the toolkit's guidance when compiling return entries. But, I think understandably, the various professional bodies think that this is a step too far. As they say, many people get their return entries correct without using this toolkit guidance, and not following HMRC's toolkit, and with it then not ticking a box, should not automatically mean that HMRC can simply identify these people to ask questions to ensure that the return is filed properly. Watch this space though, and we'll see where that consultation takes us. So, what toolkits are there? Well, 6 have been released initially and cover, 1. Capital gains tax for land and buildings. 2. Marginal small companies relief. 3. Private and personal expenditure. 4. Capital allowances for plant and machinery. 5. Trusts and estates. And 6. Capital gains for trusts and estates. Because trusts and estates presents a more specialist area, this podcast won't look at those two toolkits, although of course they are available on the website if needed. Now remember, these are the areas within which HMRC say they find most mistakes and is why they want to give the toolkit guidance for each. So HMRC are saying that they see most mistakes in the areas of capital gains for land and buildings, marginal small companies relief, private and personal expenditure, capital allowances for plant and machinery, and trusts and estates, including capital gains within trusts and estates. My initial reaction is that I think I can agree with HMRC that those areas are complicated, although I don't immediately see personal and private expenditure automatically feeding through to return entries. But we'll see when we review that toolkit shortly. What I would like to do is to look at each of the toolkits in turn. This won't be an in-depth look at each, as time doesn't allow that, but let's look at each nonetheless, picking out the main points.